your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's time to talk some football. Welcome to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with former Buffalo Bill Jeff Nixon. Get ready to participate in an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the NFL in general. Now, here's your host, Jeff Nixon.
Hey, welcome to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. My guest today is Marvin Cobb. Marvin was born August 6, 1953 in Detroit, Michigan. He was drafted into the NFL on the 11th round of the 1975 NFL draft. He played his college football at USC, and he was a safety just like me. He wore the number 24 on his jersey. And welcome to the show, Marvin.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, a lot of stuff happened this past weekend here, as you know, and you know, a lot of the other retired players all throughout, you know, the United States. There were two conventions that were taking place simultaneously. One was hosted by the National Football League Players Association, and the other was hosted by an independent group of retired players in Las Vegas, and that's the one both you and I attended. And we did it for a reason. We did it because, you know, we were a little bit upset with the way the union and the NFL in general have treated retired players. And you did a fantastic job. I have to tell everybody, you were basically the person that pulled this whole thing together. You took care of everything while we were there, and you were a tremendous host too.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Getting all that stuff done is a lot of people just don't realize how hard it is. You know, especially with when you got all the big egos that we got in the NFL. You know, there's a lot of guys. You know, and I was one of them. I'll be honest with you. You know, I remember calling you up and saying, "Hey, can I get one of the rooms at with a good view and this and that?" You know, we all want to be treated special.
It was really an honor for me to be involved in this project.
Yeah.
Not only from a personal standpoint of my own involvement in the league, but as a fan as well, Jeff, because there were guys at our summit, as you know, that, man, I remember growing up and being in high school, watching and being a fan of. I mean, Jethro Pugh and Hugh McElhaney, and there were guys there that I remember admiring and watching playing. So it was a real honor for me to be involved in this, truly.
You know, really, for me it was too. You know, I think we're all kind of in awe, you know, when we're around guys that, you know, particularly the ones that had great careers, you know. I mean, D.D. Lewis was there from, you know, Carl Eller was there, Billy Brooks, Delvin Williams. I was telling Delvin, you know, a little story that when we played, this was my very first game ever in the NFL. It was against the Miami Dolphins. He was a running back for him, and he took it wide on a sweep and had nobody, you know, everybody got knocked down. Everybody got blocked. It was just him and me, and we went right to the sideline, and the only thing that hit was our heads.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think it was one of the hardest hits I'd ever taken to the head, you know, when I played, you know, and I got up, and I was extremely woozy, and it was, you know, and he jumped off the ground but he said it kind of hurt him, too.
Oh, I remembered it.
You know how you are. You can't show that you're hurt, you know.
Yeah.
And all the Miami Dolphin, you know, players that were on the sideline, they're all up and screaming in my face, yeah, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
You know, at least I took them out of bounds, but, man, I paid the price for that one.
Oh, Jeff, look, I got a story like that. You remember Earl Campbell, of course.
Oh, yeah. I played against him, sure.
Okay, so we were down in Houston, and they were beating us already, and I was playing left corner. They went around our right side with a sweep to Earl. He went about 60 yards. I caught him. Finally caught him with an angle right about the 5-4 yard line, and I knew if I didn't hit him with everything, he and I and the ball and everybody else was going into the end zone.
Yeah, I know.
And I lowered on him, Jeff, and I don't remember much that happened the rest of that game. I know I stopped him. He didn't score. Of course, they scored a couple plays later. But the bad part of it was they ended up putting that play on Monday night highlights, the lead into Monday night for the next two or three seasons, had that play in it. So every week during the season, I get to watch Earl and I collide at the 3 yard line.
Well, you know what? You're part of history. You know, that's the, you know, even the bad, you know, plays. You know, I look back and I almost cherish them. You know, I talk about them, and you know, but it's, you know, everybody. I don't care who you are. If you play in the game long enough, you're going to get beat. Somebody's going to hurt you physically, maybe even mentally. You know, and I remember, you know, Earl, when we played him, man, he had the strongest forearm
Oh man!
I mean, he would, and not only that, but he would do the he would give you a stiff arm too.
Oh yeah,
knock you down if you weren't careful, you know. Because a lot of guys, you know, with him, they wanted to go down low on him because he was a tough guy to bring down up top. Not with me. With him, I had to go up top on him because, you know, he had such a strong, you know, stiff arm, you know, that you had to be careful, you know. But unbelievable the strength of that guy, you know. And he's one of those guys that played in the NFL for many years, and he never ran out of bounds. You know, he wanted to stay on the field as far as he could, and you know, and it probably shortened his career. And he's had a lot of issues with his.
Yeah, physically, he's not very healthy these days.
Yeah, and that, you know, that was one of the reasons that we got together as a group too this past weekend was to talk about what we could do to improve the disability plan. And there was a lot of great things that John Hogan, one of our advocates, you know, talked about during the meeting about just some very little things that could be done, tweaked in our disability plan to help players. You know, and one of the things that he brought up that's very important for everybody to understand is that, you know, the retirement board, which is, you know, has a process for disability, you know, they're designed to help players, not to put, you know, all these hurdles in front of them. They're supposed to be, you know, there to be that the group that kind of, you know, makes sure that if you're qualified, you get it. But it you know, you could tell from his speech that it, you know, over the years it has been a very difficult process for a lot of guys, and it's very, very draining financially for a lot of these guys too to try and fight this thing. And it's
Well, you know what, Jeff? It's amazing. The summit has proven, even in this, you know, it's only been 24 hours.
Yep.
It's already proven to be so beneficial in a number of ways, on a number of different levels, and one of them is a startling discovery, at least for me. I don't know how many other guys realize this, but the nature of being a professional football player is that much of what you suffer later in your life is of a degenerative nature, and it comes on kind of slow.
Right.
I mean, I walked away from the game at age 28 thinking I was in really good health. I mean, I was in great shape. I was a superior athlete, an elite athlete like everybody else in the league. And here I am, 28 years old, so I was playing racquetball and starring on the softball team at my company and, you know, didn't really feel that bad until I turned 42. And then my neck and shoulder started catching up to me, my turf toe. My turf toe was so bad I walked pigeon-toed on the right side, so now my right hip has this horrible arthritis thing going on. And, you know, I went to the doctor. He said I'm 80% disabled. The team doctor actually misdiagnosed. He called it a stinger. And an MRI later on.
That's what all everybody called those injuries were, stingers.
A fracture in my neck.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, I was suffering with this all along, going to the chiropractor about every week or two just to maintain my balance.
Hey,
and it came to a point where, you know, I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, before you finish that, guess who we have on the line?
Who's on?
D-Man.
Hi,
I wonder if it's you, Demoris Smith. Demoris, are you on the line with us? Hello? Do we have D-Man on the line?
You got D-Man, my friend. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I was excited about getting to work today so I can listen to your show and talk to you a little bit because this is what I really love about football, and I think as fans we should really delve into this situation that you're talking about today.
Now, is this the D-Moore Smith, or is this the D-Man from the talk show?
This is D-Man from the talk show.
Oh, okay, good. I just wanted to make sure because, I've got, you know, a lot of people like, hey, who is, you know, you got Demoris Smith, the new executive director of the NFLP on the line. It just said D-Man on the line. I was like, oh, okay. All right, yeah, hey, I appreciate your calling. We did touch base last week. I mentioned that I got the show and, you know, that it, if you'd like to call in, you know, because you had a lot of concerns about what was happening to retired players too, and I would like to go on your show. You do have a show that you do too.
Yes.
But what? Go ahead and ask us a question here. Let's see what we can do to or make a comment. Either way.
Well, this is what I really wanted to talk about, and I'm glad that you have the NFL Players Association representative there. Is that what can we do for the retired players? Because it seems like once these players retire, we no longer hear about them. And as fans growing up, like me growing up, not O.J. Simpson, but Chuck Foreman.
Oh, did I?
Chuck Foreman was the guy that I really loved, and you can't find him. And I found out that he was in Minnesota when I spoke to his agent. But the bottom line is that I believe that these players put it all out on the line. not like baseball players don't do it, and not like basketball players don't do it, but their careers and their livelihood and their health could be over in a fraction of a second. And I just think as fans, we need to fight for these players and make sure that the NFL knows and the Players Association knows that, hey, listen, we care about these guys. These are our heroes. These are the heroes that we grew up with, and we don't want to see them out on the street corner with nothing to eat and no health care and nothing like that. I mean, it hurts the game more than it helps the game, and I just think as the NFL Players Association moves forward, I hope that they realize one day they're going to have to retire, and they may end up in the same boat, and we need to find a way to stop it now.
Well, great. Hey, and I appreciate that comment. That's really one of the things that we've tried to do through, you know, this whole advocacy thing that we've been doing really since, you know, and this kind of started. Everything exploded in 2004 when they were getting ready to negotiate the collective bargaining agreement. You know, Gene Upshaw made some very unfortunate comments about, you know, that he doesn't represent the retired players. Only the active players vote him in. And, you know, and that kind of got everybody up in a rile, you know. But we realized that is the actual truth. You know, even though Demoris Smith in the newspaper, you know, had a thing saying that he represents not just the active player, but all players, you know. Mm-hmm. But the actual truth of the matter is that through the collective bargaining agreement and through their own bylaws, we don't have an actual vote on the executive committee. We've tried to get that, but they won't allow it. The active players will not allow us, and the NFLPA administrators, you know, Gene Upshaw, and you know, at this point, Demoris Smith hasn't said anything differently, you know, that we're not going to be allowed to be represented on that group, and that bothers me. But your other thing was, you know, how do we reach all these guys? And one of the things I'm trying to do with this internet radio show, there's other players can do this too. This internet radio show that I'm doing is run by Voice America Sports, and they've been trying to recruit other players all throughout the United States to get on and do their own show, just like I'm doing. And I've had I've had 20 players now that I've interviewed, Marvin Cobb being the most recent one here, and you know, but I've had Conrad Dobler on, and I had Nick Lowry on the show. I had Bob Grant. I had Abner Haynes. I've got a lot of the old guys, but you know, I want to talk to some of the younger guys too. I want to get some of the active players on this show too, to you know, because what it is we need to do a better job of explaining that to them. You know, what this is all about. You know, we've only got about 20 seconds left before we go to break here, but when we come back, I do want to talk a little bit more about, you know, what people can do to touch base and communicate with each other, because communication is the key to this whole thing, and being able to get in touch with, you know, retired players, active players about the issues is very important. So you're with the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. We're going to take a moment to pay the bills and be right back.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Owen Hodge Show. Are you ready for some football? Well, here it comes. The Owen Hodge Show is bringing you the funniest hour in sports talk radio. This action-packed show is hosted by the outspoken fullback, Big Hodge, and the knowledgeable defensive back, Odie. This show will focus on the NFL, but touch on all things sports. Owen Hodge will provide you with a true player's perspective that'll give you insight, make you think, and definitely make you laugh. Owen Hodge have accumulated 6 championship rings, so obviously they know things. Check out the Owen Hodge Show at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
The Owen Hodge Show.
I know. Being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have 2 lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology. Pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with Jeff Nixon. It's your turn to get in on today's discussion. Call Jeff now, toll-free, at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also drop an email to jeffnixon at AOL.com. Now, back to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report.
Hey, welcome back to the Sports Report. I'm with Marvin Cobb, and Marvin was in the NFL for, 75 to 1980. Now, you played with Cincinnati. You started with Cincinnati. Then you had a brief stint, just a year, with both Pittsburgh and Minnesota, right?
Yeah, I actually split the 80 season between Pittsburgh and the Vikings.
Right. Yeah, I remember my rookie year, we played the Pittsburgh Steelers. Last game of the year. This is the year they won the championship, you know, the
right.
Super Bowl.
One of them.
And I knew that I had finally arrived in the NFL. I picked off Bradshaw. Took it back about 20 yards. They crushed us, though. I mean, it was
so
pathetic. The box score was 7-0, 7-0, 7-0, 7-0. It was 28-0.
They
were like a machine that year, those guys, you know. Hey, but, you know, right before the break, I mentioned we were going to talk about the communication effort, because that's what the caller was talking about. How do I get in touch with these people? There, and I just want people to know there's a lot of different ways. And what we've done is we established some Google group sites where you can go. There's one, it's just the NFL Retired Player Google Groups. If you click on that, you can post, and you know, but you have to get signed up, you know, to be able to do that. There's different blogs out there. I've got a blog, it's called NFL Retired Players United. Probably one of the better ones that's out there is Dave Pear. That's P-E-A-R. Yeah, and he's got a good one, and it's, you know, and as a matter of fact, I stopped even doing mine because, you know, it was like there's just too many blogs and too many things out, too many groups out there. So I said, I'll post with Dave Pear, and I'll post with Fourth and Goal, and I'm a board member on Fourth and Goal with the guys there. So, but the other good group is Gridiron Greats. You know, with Mike Ditka, they got a tremendous group out there, and so you can post with all those. You know, you can stay in touch with players. You know, it's just, because that's the important thing with all this is that retired players now through the internet have been able to do a much better and much more effective campaign for what we want. Do you agree on that? I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. And I think the caller proved a point. I mean, Gene was fond of saying that the retired players really had no marketability. And the last caller disproved that. I mean, I think there's a lot of favorable sentiment out there for some of us old guys. You know, just like you said, guys grow up and have heroes, and they're still around.
Absolutely, you know, we saw a bunch of them that came in, and it was interesting. Again, there was two conferences. You know, there was one that the NFLPA did, and then there was our Retired Players Summit, which was we weren't tied to anybody.
No.
But there were different proposals and different ideas put out at this conference to do things to unite players, you know. And there, there was the position that maybe we should get with the NFL alumni, because there is a new focus there. There it used to be caring for kids was the number one priority, and raising charitable money to help charity, and that still is a priority, but it's not the number one. The number one is really the vision that organization had right from the outset.
Right.
That is helping retired players. I mean, we've got a lot of guys out there that are in need, you know, and really dire need, and that's really the name of the funds. We have, you know, under the NFL alumni, there's the dire need fund that people can apply for, players can apply for, and then under the NFLPA, it's the PAT, like point after try, but it stands for Player Assistance Trust.
Right.
So, you know, there's ways that guys can get help, and that's the good thing, you know, that, and we just want to do more. We want, I mean, there's ways we can we can help guys and families, you know. And the beautiful thing about our summit, I think, and I know you'll agree with me on this one, Marvin, is that we invited player wives to get up there and speak. Why don't you speak about that? Because I think you helped get that done.
Yeah. One of the other focuses of our summit, aside from how to help improve our pension and disability benefits, we've tried very hard to provide as much education about our retired players and some of the difficulties and challenges that we face peculiarly, you know, specifically to our group of people. The life we led as professional football players, it eventually catches up to you. And so many of us are just unaware of what those consequences could actually be. And you can imagine having a 200-pound-plus man who's now in his late 40s, early 50s, experiencing early-onset dementia or Alzheimer's-type symptoms, and what's a wife supposed to do?
Absolutely.
We heard stories from several of the ladies talking about the challenges and trials they faced. I mean, to the extent of, more than one of them mentioned how they hurt their shoulders, tore rotator cuffs trying to lift their husbands off the toilet to get them back to bed, or you know, things like that. It was really touching. It was really heartfelt. I think it woke up a lot of people, opened up a lot of people's eyes to the potential consequences of having, you know, played professional football.
Right. And you know, it wasn't just, and that was an emotional appeal. And people need to hear that. They need to hear the actual daily life experiences that, you know, both the wives and the players go through. But you know what we did too, which was so important, is we backed it up with physicians and people that have been doing brain studies. And I mean, they brought so much information. There was so much that I learned at this thing that was important, you know. And one of the beautiful things about this, a lot of people don't realize that one of the groups that was there presenting about the concussions and the damages that can have in later in life, is that there's about 20 guys now that have actually donated their brains to science, former retired players, you know.
Yes. There's actually two studies that have been initiated here recently having to do with athletes and their brains. One that you mentioned is with Sports Legacy Institute in partnership with the University of Boston. They are asking for athletes to sign consent forms to donate their brains to the study of concussions and athletic injuries. And then there's the Amen Clinics. They're conducting also a study, but you don't have to die first. They have the technology, the MRI technology, set up so they can scan your brain. And they're asking for volunteers to come and have their brain scanned to help them understand better how brain injuries can impact a person and come from athletic injuries. In fact, in the studies, I think you might remember, Jeff, in the studies, Dr. Amen mentioned that in the typical 50-year-old ex-football player's brain looks a whole lot more like an 80-year-old Alzheimer patient's brain.
Yeah, that was kind of scary, because he had already shown the results, and he actually showed slides up there showing a regular brain and then the brain of a player, you know, and you could actually see the damage that was done on these little cultures or whatever. Like, they're actually like slices of brain. It's, when you think about it, it's kind of, you know, it's hard to digest, you know. I'm glad I didn't eat before I saw that presentation. You know,
it points up something that I know that you can relate to. In order to be a professional football player, you have to be somewhat self-deluded.
Yeah, really.
You really do. You have to brainwash yourself into believing you can crash into somebody. You know, they call it a contact sport, but it really is more accurately a collision sport. And what kind of mindset do you have to have, Jeff, to weigh 190 pounds and run into somebody that weighs 260, 280, 300, full speed, and then get up and act like it didn't hurt?
Absolutely. and it was, you know, he said, one of the things he said about the brain itself, he said it's like kind of a consistency between like a Jell-O. And
yeah,
I forget what the other substance was, but it was, you know, very soft. And he said, and it's contained within this hard shell. And within that hard shell, you have got these ridges that, you know, can be damaged when you have a hard concussive impact, you know. And so,
yes. I mean, to the extent, Jeff, you don't even have to make contact. There are studies showing whiplash victims that don't make contact with the steering wheel But just the action of snapping your neck back and forth like that is enough for your brain to crack up against the inside of those hard ridges in your skull and cause damage.
Well, you know what? It's and in NASCAR, they finally, I'm not sure if it's NASCAR or if it's in the Indy 500, but they put those brand new helmets that have a connection to their shoulders or something that prevents that whiplash, because there's some guys that died from accidents like that, and it was like, wow, you know, and it's amazing. We were the guinea pigs, you know, not just us, but obviously the way before us too. We're guinea pigs for the NFL, you know.
A lot of new technology. You were talking about with Delvin Williams. You really didn't have any idea what kind of damage that could have caused your brain.
Well, you know what? I had a suspension helmet. There was, you know, I mean, now they've got the air helmets and water helmets, but back when I played, you know, there were a lot of guys who were still wearing suspension helmets, you know, and those things were terrible. They didn't do anything, I don't think, you know. And
Right. We were guinea pigs.
But you know what came out of that too is it's not just, you know, the early onset Alzheimer's or dementia too, but they said it changes the brain in such a way that depression is a very common symptom. They said those two things, it's like trying to think of there's a diagnosis for that where you go up and down, but it's very similar to that. They said you go through depressive states and then you go through these terribly terrible anger states too, so it's
similar to being bipolar.
Yeah, and you know, it wasn't until really, you know, Bruce Laird and Baltimore, their Baltimore chapter started pushing for, this type of coverage that we have now. It's called the 88 Plan, and it was based on John Mackey, who used to be, you know, at one time the president of the NFL alumni, or excuse me, NFL
PA,
PA, you know, and John had suffered, you know, some really, you know, serious, you know, concussions during his time, and he ended up getting Alzheimer's. But now under this plan, they'll pay at least $88,000 for the institutional care, up to $88,000 for institutional care of somebody that has Alzheimer's. And right now, I'm not sure how many guys have actually been in it, but I hear there's a good number so far that have qualified for that. You know, they've been able to show that they have Alzheimer's. And you know, it's kind of a scary thing. My wife is always telling me, you know, I just told you that 5 minutes ago. Why?
Oh, I know, Bruce. I mean, I know, Jeff. It's horrible. It's like, you know, you forget the simplest things. You walk into the room looking for something, and as soon as you get in there, can't remember what it is you're looking for.
You know what? This has been going on for a while. It's not old age yet. I'm not that old. I'm 53 years old right now.
Yeah, me neither. I'm 55, so.
Yeah. But it was, you know, the other thing that was nice about the summit, too, is we had Jane Arnett. She kind of moderated it, you know, and that it was nice to have the women involved. I thought that was a great touch to our conference. And
Yeah. Jane provided a nice balance. You know, it's almost like there is always going to be that one common denominator with us football players, no matter how tough and rumble we think we are. If you got a woman talking to you in a mama's type voice, you're going to pay attention.
And like you said, there's a lot of big egos, and people want to do this, and people want to do that. She did a great job at the very end saying, you know what, okay, so we've talked about all these issues. What can we agree on here? And we came out of it with five things that we agreed on. And we've only got about 30 seconds left before our next break. So when we come back, let's talk about those five things. I don't know if you wrote them down or you have them with you, but if you do, you know, pull that out, and we'll talk about that when we come back from the break, okay?
Very good.
All right, we'll be back with the Jeff Nixon Sports Report right after this message.
It's such a dirty, rotten shame.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot. Got it. With 2.8 seconds left to left.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with Jeff Nixon. It's your turn to get in on today's discussion. Call Jeff now, toll free, at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also drop an email to jeffnixon@aol.com. Now, back to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report.
Hey, welcome back to the show. My guest is Marvin Cobb. Marvin played in from 1975 to 1980 with the Cincinnati Bengals, and just briefly for 1 year but with both the Pittsburgh Steelers and Minnesota Vikings. And right before the break, we were talking about, you know, our summit and the, you know, the things that we talked about and did there. But at the very end, we wanted to have a vision, a goal, a mission, and there were five specific things that we said that we're going to come out of there and push both the NFLPA and the NFL owners and anybody else that will listen to us, you know, for things that we think that retired players need. Not what we want, but what we think we need. And that was an important distinction. I know Bruce Laird had brought that up. This is not a thing about we got hat in hand and we're begging to you. These are, you know, some of these are, and DeMora Smith said it himself. I couldn't have said it better than him. He said they not only have a fiduciary responsibility to retired players, but he feels they have a moral obligation too. So, the five things. Why don't you go over the five things that came out of this?
Yeah, we've been asking for an audit of the NFLPA finances ever since the outcome of the case, the class action case against the NFLPA for the video rights situation that was decided in San Francisco last fall. You know, we figured that there's more. There's a lot more,
and only
through an independent audit of the finances of the NFLPA will we really be able to get to the bottom of, you know, where's our money.
Yeah, and that's interesting because guess what? DeMora Smith is doing the same thing with the NFL owners.
Not only that, he's asking us to support him in his request of the NFL owners, which I find
we'll talk about that. We'll get to that in the final segment here. But the GAO audit, yes. I mean, that's, you know, and that's something that Congress has the ability to do. They can say, hey, look, you know, I don't see why we can't get that done. That seems to me to be, you know, just a no-brainer for Congress to step in and say, hey, look, you guys have been found guilty in a court of law. You know, it's interesting. I thought that they were going to come out and say they were going to try and settle the class action during the NFLPA's convention. I just had it in my mind. I'm thinking, you know, they want to make the retired players feel good, but apparently nothing was said about that. So that's interesting. That tells you something right there. They're appealing that, and so they're not going to be as transparent about this as they want to be. So anyway, the GAO audit, what else were the other?
Well, we came to Vegas with two primary focuses, and that was how best to position ourselves so that we can influence the powers that be to improve our pension plan, number one, and then our disability plan access, number two.
Right.
And there was much discussion and good presentations by attorneys on just what the situation is. There is some more information and research we could do because I think, just like you were saying, Jeff, you know, the baseball players and the basketball players, the hockey players, the other major professional sports teams have much, much better pension programs than we do.
Right.
And it doesn't make sense. We have the highest revenue the lowest expenses, and yet we're paying out pension plans at a much lower rate than those sports are. It's not right.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the disability plan. And you know, I think there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of mystique and intrigue around how to actually successfully win disability rights. And, you know, we found out some good information. I was saying at the top of the show that I found out the number one reason most guys are turned down for their disability claim is that they're still employed when they apply.
Well, and let me tell you the other one, too. There's two reasons, and the other one, I think, is at the fault of the NFLP, and that is guys don't file in time. They don't realize that there is a time limitation on it, and I don't know how well they're educated about that, but I'll tell you what, when I left the NFL, nobody told me, nobody had this brochure for me and said, hey, the clock is ticking. You have until such and such time. 4 years, back when I was playing, it was 4 years. You got 4 years to, you know, either claim a line of disability or a total and permanent disability. So, so anyway, that's one thing that, you know, well, those are two things that need to be, you know, looked at very closely.
Well, I think an overall problem, Jeff, might be that it seems that our disability plan is set up much like, you know, every other body's disability plan, as if we were GM workers or, you know, Teamsters or something. And, you know, our industry is quite unique in that regard. You don't see GM workers retiring at age 28.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, and what's interesting about that, too, is, you know, the guys that are in the union, typically your top guys that are in a major corporate union, they've been there for like 20, 30 years, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So when they make retirement pension decisions, it's affecting everybody, you know, particularly the older guys, you know, but we don't have that luxury in the NFL because most guys are out of the league too soon to really have any say on that. And we all know that after out of the league, we don't have any vote on the, you know,
exactly,
on the OPA board. So that's a problem too. Now, the other thing you mentioned too, bringing all United players under one type of organization. And again, there were a couple things that came out. There was, you know, the talk about, you know, just starting right from scratch and having an organization that would represent, you know, all retired players. And then the other one was, let's go back to the NFL alumni. And you know, a lot of things have been done to restructure that, as you know. There, you know, the Fourth and Goal was able to get six of their board members placed on that group, and they're going to hold their feet to the fire, you know. And the beautiful thing about this is that, you know, there's opportunities in this thing for us to get marketed much better than we've ever been before. And
right.
You know, and the thing that came out of it too is the NFL shield, you know, that beautiful logo that is known worldwide right now.
Mm-hmm.
Such a, you know, you know, a visual thing. When people see that, they think, oh, the NFL, great, you know, good, you know, and they've been able to, you know, generate millions and billions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Under that. So why can't retired players be able to use that too? And that's one of the things we're going to approach the owners about through the NFL Alumni Association, is about, you know, how can we get a piece of intellectual property rights? How can we market the jerseys that these guys wore? How about stuff that NFL Films has been putting on television for years and not, you know, think about this. We're entertainers. Football players are entertainers. Why shouldn't we get paid royalties when our reruns are put back on television, you know, and we're put into syndication? Because that's what we see, you know, when you see Football Follies and when you see the great games of yesteryear and all that, we're basically in syndication, you know, and any actor that is with the SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, gets paid a royalty typically for those, you know. And it's,
I think that's a good thing to pursue. And, you know, as far as a united group, the challenge, as you know, is so many retired players have different agendas and different interests and different priorities. And, you know, it can be confusing because there are apparently competing groups. But I think that, to the extent that players are able to come together in one group would provide leverage as we deal with, you know, the NFLPA. That's what we're looking for, is leverage
to
deal with the NFLPA.
I guess my concern at the meeting was, you know, when Bruce Laird, you know, president of Fourth and Goal, and who's been a strong advocate, I mean, he helped get the 88 plan in with John Mackey, and he fought for this trend, this new NFL alumni vision and stuff. You know, when he got up there and presented, you know, he didn't attack anybody. He didn't say anything.
No.
But when the other person got up there, Bob Grant, and spoke about this, his vision, and he was very, you know, he made it sound like we're all, the only reason we're doing this is because we're getting jobs and stuff. And I really took offense to that. Now, he did apologize for that in front of everybody. He got up there and said, look, I apologize. Sometimes, you know, I get angry and I, you know, so that was good.
Bob's got a lot of passion for helping all the guys get better pensions and disability, and he's, you know, he's a purist in that sense.
And I'll be honest with you, if he wants to go, you know, start from scratch and try and get a group together to do that, that's fine. But I feel that we're so far into the game right now that we've got to go with a group that's bigger, stronger, more powerful, and I think that's the NFL alumni. If we can recruit guys to get on board with this, and really, you know, change the focus of that group and start looking at marketing ourselves. I mean, the NFLPA, that group licensing agreement that they had set up for everybody, we thought that was it. This is the marketing idea. This is what we should do. But they never followed through with it, and obviously there was a class action suit. And Bernie Parrish takes a lot of credit for that. Unfortunately, Bernie had made so many, you know, just inflammatory statements about Gene Upshaw and other people that they had to take him off the class as a representative, you know, and then Herb Adderley and Walter Roberts stayed on and we were successful. And you can't take away from Bernie the fact that he you know, really advanced this whole thing. But when you get out there on the internet, when you get out there in the media and stuff and you start making statements, you damn well better be able to back them up with facts.
Yeah, you know? Indeed. I give credit to Bernie because he masterminded that whole thing and saw it through, despite, you know, being removed as a named plaintiff.
Right.
So I still have to tip my hat to Bernie, because as far as I can tell, he's the only one so far to be successful in that endeavor. And
that's not altogether true. I mean, over the history of the NFL, the antitrust suits have been brought against the owners and have been won. I mean,
against the PA.
Oh, against the NFL.
I'm not sure. I don't know anybody to beat the PA yet.
Yeah, against the NFLPA, obviously, yeah. And again, we can't take anything away from that, and we applaud him for that. But when you lose your credibility when you make a truthful statement and then you turn around and make a false statement, or you make an inflammatory statement, or you make a misleading statement, you know, and that bothers me. You know, I mean, I'm the kind of guy, you know, if you lie to me a little bit, that means you might lie to me, you know, at any time.
You're right. There's a certain way of presenting that is more effective than, you know, locker room style.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, what we saw Saturday night with Bob was more the locker room style, and what we really need, I think, is more the boardroom style or the classroom style.
Yeah, but you know what? This is the beautiful thing about retired players. We got a big tent, you know, and we need guys like Bernie Parrish. We need guys like, you know, Marvin Cobb. We need guys like Bruce Laird. And, you know, because everybody has a different role in this thing. And I want to talk a little bit about those roles when we get back from the break here. But, again, we're going to take a little break here. You're with the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. We'll be back in just a moment.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. a message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Are you ready to talk sports? I mean fantasy sports. Tune in to hear the latest fantasy news, injury updates, sleepers, and busts. All with a new twist from the influence of pop culture and the music industry and their newly designed game, Suicide Fantasy Football. Get ready for the Butts and Butts Fantasy Sports Show. Brothers Jim and Eric Butts are ready to clue you in on the exciting world of fantasy sports. Make sure you're a part of the new revolution in sports radio. Catch the Butts and Butts Fantasy Sports Show Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network. You can never get too much Butts.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need a bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with Jeff Nixon. It's your turn to get in on today's discussion. Call Jeff now, toll free, at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also drop an email to jeffnixon@aol.com. Now, back to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report.
Hey, welcome back to the show. My guest is Marvin Cobb, played with the Cincinnati Bengals from 1975 to 1979. Hey, you know what I forgot to mention is that you had 13 interceptions. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
That's pretty darn good. You know what? I played about the same period of time. I really only had 4 years that I was out of the six that I played that I was actively playing, you know, because I was injured the other times, or on injured reserve or on the PUP list, you know, physically unable to perform. But, you know, and I had 11 interceptions, but, you know, we must have been pretty good ball hawks, I think, you know.
Okay.
You could have been in the Hall of Fame if you'd have played 15, 16 years.
Ain't no telling, Jeff.
Yeah, exactly, you know, and so, you know, when these guys, it's interesting, when the Hall of Famers are going to be inducted this, you know, coming, you know, summer here, you know, it's amazing. All of them say, you know, I wouldn't have got here if it wasn't for my teammates. And I think a lot of them realize it's a fine line between, like, you know, being a, you know, a bench warmer or a starter or an all-pro player or and a Hall of Famer. You know, just little things. It could be an injury that somebody incurred. It could have been a political thing on the team. Somebody didn't like this guy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. A lot of factors. A lot of factors come into play, no question.
And I think a lot of the Hall of Famers recognize that it took a lot for them to get where they're at, you know, and so, you know, that's an important thing. We're all part of this big, you know, team of retired players, and we're all helping each other. And the thing that we need to do is do a little bit better job of getting, you know, active players, you know, up to speed on what the history of the NFL is all about and how they're now enjoying all of the nice perks that they get. You know, one of the things I did in my presentation at the summit on the pension plan was I said, you know, they have a tremendous retirement right now. They're getting $470 for every credited season that they play, okay? But what bothers me the most is from 1993 until the present date, they've been setting up these other little retirement pots, and those are the second career savings plan, the annuity plan, the health reimbursement account, 5 years of free medical health after they got a tuition assistance reimbursement. There's actually about 19 benefits altogether that are in that pot. And, you know, and I remember Gene used to tell the active players that, hey, anytime you give to the retired players, it takes away what you can give for yourself. But let's face it, they've gotten the lion's share of everything. The average salaries now of an NFL player is $1.5 million. And that statistic goes back to 2006, so I don't know what it is now. It's probably a lot higher than that. Yeah. And the average starter salary is $2.7 million. So, you know, they're not going to be going hungry anytime soon, any of those guys. So the question is, why would they pile on, and they should have been flagged for this years ago, but why do they continue to pile on those benefits instead of putting those into the retirement plan that could benefit everybody, including themselves?
Indeed, I think
that's where a lot of retired players are upset. They're like, they see all that happening, and they can't understand it. But let me do this, because this is important, too. You know, while we were at the summit, we got a copy of a newspaper article that Sunday morning, the last day of our event. Well, actually, the day before our event, but I think most of us didn't see it until
Sunday morning.
So let me read this. So it says, NFLPA seeks retired players' help. And it says, Union's executive leader, I represent all players. We are one team. Okay, and this is off the Associated Press wire. I'm not sure. Somebody said this article originated from the LA Times, but I'm not sure. It says, the NFL Players Association wants the support of various groups of retired players in its upcoming contract talks with the league. I don't represent active players. I don't represent retired players. I represent all NFL players. We are one team, DeMora Smith, the union's new executive director, said Saturday at a meeting of the NFLPA Retired Players Organization in Palm Springs, California. Smith was elected in March to succeed the late Gene Upshaw. He is trying to get the retiree groups behind the union in negotiations to extend the contract that expires after the 2010 season. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do want to read the last sentence that he said.
Okay.
He stressed common ground in his talk to the retired players. He noted that if there is a lockout by the owners in 2011, retired player benefits would be reduced by 80% while it lasts. Now, as you know, I made a statement in the thing that I think that's misleading and it's untrue. And it is, because when you say retired player benefits, I think every retired player's ears perk up and they, you know, and they're like, oh, they're talking about my pension plan. I mean, that's basically the only benefit that most retired players get right now.
That's right.
You know, and so to say that they're going to reduce basically our retirement benefits, unless you guys help us against the owners, you know, in these contract talks, and if there's a lockout, it's going to go down 80%. That is so misleading, and I hope that DeMora Smith, if he did say that, because, again, you know, newspapers can get it wrong. He might have meant active players, you know, when he said their benefits would be reduced by 80% while
right.
they're, because
or maybe those 19 ancillary programs you were mentioning earlier.
Absolutely. Let me tell you what the collective bargaining agreement says. It says that in the case that there is the owners opt out, that they do not have to pay one single penny to the second career savings plan, the annuity plan. And just to give you an idea, they put $73 million in the annuity plan in 2007. Okay.
Wow.
$73 million. You know how much the second career savings plan is? It's almost up there with our pension plan. They've almost got as much assets. I would say it's close to five. I don't have the exact numbers, but, you know, I mean, from what I've been able to, you know, just ascertain from, you know, just figuring it out based on how many players have, you know, been vested and over the past 15 years, they've probably got over $500 million in that account alone.
Okay? Wow.
Now, part of that is a donation from the player. In order in the second career savings plan, a player has to put $10,000 in. Boy, that's a big chunk of money for a millionaire, isn't it?
Okay.
And the owners have to put in. They have to double that. So the owners put $20,000 in. So each year the player gets a $30,000 nest egg. So for over a 10-year period, let's say, they got a $300,000 account that is invested in several different types of programs. You can check it, you know how that is.
You can select your own.
Yeah, so anyway, you know, and what's beautiful about that, too, is they can pull it out early, too. You know, it's not like us where we have to, you know, most retired players now have to wait till age 55 to get their pensions. In earlier years, they were allowed to get it at age 45, and that was a mistake of the union, too, to do that, to allow that. But you know, I mean, just for him to say that 80% of our, you know, benefits would be reduced. I just thought that was so misleading. I hope he comes out and corrects himself, because the fact of the matter is it's the active players that are going to be in big trouble, because all their funding for all those programs is gone. It stops in 2011.
You know? Wow, yeah, I think that's probably what he meant.
Yeah, and I think he did too. But you know, he could have been talking about some of those little ancillary programs that we have, like, you know, we have a joint replacement, okay?
Joint replacement, Plan 88 or something, yeah.
They'll reimburse you $5,000 on the total expense of the operation, okay? If that's what they're talking about, okay, fine. But, you know, when you say 80% of retired player benefits, everything that what it comes to everybody's mind is that they're going to wipe out our pension plan, you know? And so, you know, I just hope he corrects that. But, you know, we've only got a couple minutes before the end of the show, Marvin, and I just, again, I want to thank you for just doing a great job with the summit. I think we can do this again. Hopefully next year, you know, we'll be able to be even more organized. You know, it'd be nice if we could throw a half a million dollar party like the NFLPA does their members, but we can't do that yet, you know. But you know what? I think if we get organized and we get under one group, whether it's the NFL alumni or this other group that they were talking about, my preference is the NFL alumni. you know, I'll be right up front, and I've told people that I really think that there's the new focus that they've gone. We've got some commitments. You know, Roger Goodell has agreed in principle to just about all of the things that we talked about in there, talking about getting intellectual property rights and other things. But
yeah.
Anyway, Marvin, hey, you've been a great guest, man. You got to come back on at some point, and we'll update everybody on how things are going. And
sure, be happy to anytime, Jeff.
Thanks a lot. You've been listening to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Join me again next Monday at 5 o'clock. We'll see you then.
Thanks again for participating in an engaging discussion of football on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with former Buffalo Bill Jeff Nixon. Join us again next Monday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network. In the house of pain.